I invite you to turn in your Bibles now to the prophecy of Joel. In the Pew Bibles, it is on page 952, Joel chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse 18. Joel 2, verse 18. Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. The Lord will reply to them, I am sending you grain, new wine and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. I will drive the northern army far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land, with its front columns going into the eastern sea and those in the rear into the western sea. And its stench will go up, its smell will rise. And just to remind you that when talking about this northern army, it's talking about the army of locusts which had come and invaded the land. So the when it talks about these columns and the army and they're being wiped out, they're talking about those locusts. Continuing, surely he has done great things. Be not afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterward, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a beautiful, remarkable, and the second part of our reading, anyway, a familiar part of the Bible. It was on the day of Pentecost that Peter, the leader of Jesus' apostles, preached what could reasonably and truly be called the first Christian sermon. And when this first Christian sermon was preached, this was the text that the apostle turned to. This is what the Holy Spirit directed him to and said, if you are going to speak to the world about what has happened in Jesus Christ and in the coming of the Holy Spirit and in the sending of my people into the world, this is the passage that I wish you to speak on. Now, this passage, which we so often hear when we read in Acts chapter 2, because the text is quoted there as well, is we forget the context of that passage. Last week, we read Joel chapter 1 up through chapter 2, verse 17, and we saw that it was in the midst of a catastrophe, a natural disaster where grasshoppers or locusts came upon the land in such number that the land was utterly devastated. These little monsters, as we said last week, singly or by a handful, are nothing much to worry about. But when there's millions or even a billion of these critters, right, they devastate the land. Every little thing that's green is consumed and nothing is left for anyone else. And we read and we came to understand that when disasters come on in our lives, that we have to be discerning about that. Why did this happen? Why is this happening? It could be, we said, that it's an attack actually of our enemy, the devil. And the devil can inflict trouble on people. We said sometimes things happen just because the nature of the world is a twisted and broken and corrupted creation because of sin, and this just happens. And we said sometimes things happen because God is trying to get our attention, or God is trying to make us turn around. And certainly in the prophecy of Joel, that catastrophe came about because God's people had forgotten who was their God. They had abandoned God. They turned their back on Him. They were worshiping other gods, and they were not giving Him the honor and glory. They were missing the blessing that should have been theirs as people of God. So God said, I'm going to get your attention. And there came His locusts. And people came to understand. He said, what you need to do is you need to be engaged in prayer. You need to be fasting. You need to be calling out to me to relent, to say, we understand now. We will be your people. We will give you the honor and glory. We will receive your blessing. Please relent from this calamity. And what we read as we turn in chapter 2 to verse 18, there's this unspoken event that happens. The prophet has said, you must turn back to God. You must repent. What happens in between verse 17 and verse 18 is that is exactly what happened. God's people understood. They obeyed, they prayed, they fasted, and God relented. So then the answer that God gives, and even in our Bible, if you still have it open, at verse 18 it says, the Lord's answer is to their turning back to Him. Now when a calamity happens because of disobedience against God, and we understand and we respond appropriately to that event, what does God's response mean? Well, what we read is that He undoes that which was afflicting the people. As we read, you can hear how yes, the rains are going to come back. So these locusts that have just taken over the land, they're going to be pushed into the sea. And And as I said last Sunday, in 1915, that was like 99 years ago, there was a locust invasion of the land of Palestine. The same place where Joel is writing to the people. And it was recorded back then from witnesses that the locusts, that when the plague came to an end, that the wind blew them into the Mediterranean Sea, and then the carcasses of all these locusts began to wash up on the ground and made a terrible stench. That as that problem was taken care of, that the sign of the end was the enemy was utterly vanquished. God got rid of the problem. The locusts were gone, the rain came, and the harvest returned. It became again a time of blessing. And as we're here in the third week of June, and we see even just, you know, I have the good fortune of being able to look outside the windows. You all are looking at this at the cement blocks, but I'm looking at the outside. It's only makes it hard to preach. It's so beautiful out there. But it's green and it's productive. And you walk out to the community garden and you see the way the vegetables are coming up, and you drive in the country, you see the fields, and see how the Lord is providing growth again, that there is going to be a harvest. We can see it, and we know that doesn't come by accident. That comes as a sign of God's blessing. What we need for life, He provides. So it's a return. Things are going back. But that's not the whole story. Sure, God restores us when we turn back to Him. But what I've said so far implies that we go back to the way things were. That as long as what was it before? Okay, yeah, we had health, we had security, we had jobs, we had purpose in life. We were all doing these things, and that was good. We returned to God, and He allows us to go back to our lives, go back to our families, back to our work, back to enjoying the way things were. It sounds a lot like it's a return to the status quo. But as we read carefully from Joel chapter 2, what we see is that it's not just a restoration. It's not just going back to the way things were. God says, if you come back to me, if you listen to me, if you stay close to me, if you love me, then it's not just we're going to go back to the status quo. He says to us, He says, if you stay with me, things get better. Things get more wonderful. There are new blessings that are provided to you as you stay close to me and as you let me, as the Lord your God, be the center and be the guide for your life. It's renewal. It says you talked before, you spoke together, you had meetings, you shared information, and sometimes you said nice things, and that is all wonderful. It says, but now, as you stay close to me, what will happen is that you're not going to just speak. You are going to prophesy. You, all you, will become my prophets. I don't know if you think of yourself as a prophet, but a prophet is someone not who speaks words anticipating the future. Prophets are people who help people understand the reality of today. What is the context of our life? Who is the Lord of our creation? To whom are all our hopes today directed? On what is it based? And those are things now that we can say. And we only can say it because the Spirit has been given to us to have the wisdom and the courage, if we will accept it, to be the prophets of God. Now we see, as we have always seen, God has given us sight. We can see things, we can understand how they work, and science is all based on that, of course, and we're grateful to God that we can be a scientific people who understand how plants and animals and minerals and mechanics and all that engineering stuff, how that all works. That is a gift. But he says, now you not only will see, now you will see visions. You will be able to see beyond the empirical senses. You'll be able to see beyond the mechanical and see the spiritual. And you'll see the deeper dimensions. Not only what is, but what it means. Not only how it works, but what's the purpose of it. You will be able to see that. And we see it because the Spirit makes us able as we walk with God and live in obedience to Him. Now, sometimes we live as people, as Christians, and we say, well, I don't know what's Pastor Bruce talking about? Because it seems to me that my life is pretty ordinary. I'm not really different than people. I call myself a Christian. I'm part of a Christian family. I go to a Christian church. But how am I different than people that don't claim to know Jesus Christ? Who don't say that I understand what God has done and how I can be forgiven and all people can find hope? It doesn't seem to me that I am that different. I think that is sometimes because we forget that we are called to be an expectant people. That when we understand what God has done and we understand what He offers to us, the opportunity to be wise beyond ourselves, to see beyond our sight, say, that is what God allows us to do, allows us to see, but we must yearn for it. We must make ourselves open for it. Because if we don't live expectantly, we don't enjoy the benefit of what the Spirit pours out upon us. What we don't long for, we don't receive. And what we don't dream about, we are not given. If you want to be a Christian that is as powerful and as effective and as Spirit-filled as you would love and wish to be, you have to want it, and you have to be open for it, and you have to dream about it. Because then we are given wisdom, and then we are discerning, and we can rejoice in the depth of our salvation. When that happens, when we are expectant, God adds our engagement. Because if we, and I've talked about this before, We know it here. But if we allow the Spirit to move into our hearts, so that it's not just an intellectual exercise, but it's a core of our being kind of thing, then the Lord gives us the power to actually live and to work and to serve in the power of the Spirit. And when we are so engaged, then we see the glory. Then the glory of God is revealed among us. Then the glory of God is revealed through us. Then we become a fellowship of power. Not for our own glory, for the glory of God. This is a beautiful passage. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in heaven and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lord has spoken. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pray to you that we will fix our eyes upon you. And we are a people who have a terrible tendency to forget you and your benefits. We have this propensity to create other idols and to worship them. Lord, pull us back to you. Help us to understand. And when we do and you restore us, Lord, we pray not just for a return to status quo. We pray for a new realities, new visions, new words, new levels of discernment. We pray this because we know that a discerning and Spirit-filled church is one that gives you glory, that blesses many people as they hear the words and see ministries of wisdom and power. Lord, make it so among us, because we know that you are worthy, because your Son is our Savior, and we are yours. Hear us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.